The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mai at 8 minutes past 12. Man in Line is online now on session. All happening through till 1. Call 66 13 68. Email studio at manxradio.com. Text 166 177. 73 new cases of COVID were identified yesterday. There are 519 active cases on the Isle of Man. 6 people in Nobles currently. Nobody's in ICU. 274 people waiting for the result of a test. 87 people booked in for a test today. From the vaccination dashboard, and by the way, we're trying to find out what the booster numbers are as well, and also the number at the weekend for the 12 to 15-year-olds. 65,497 first doses have been administered. 64,013 second doses have been administered. 123 people booked in over the next 7 days. And the Department of Health and Social Care holding 18,798 shots of vaccine currently in stock. Did you hear that big news at 12 midday today? Elective surgery has been suspended. Elective operations, which were due to take place at Nobles today and tomorrow, are being rescheduled to allow for the installation of essential new gear in operating theatres. If you had an operation that's had to be postponed, you'll be kept informed of plans to reschedule procedures, and this is expected to be within the next 2 weeks. Crikey. Emergency trauma and obstetrics continue, but they're putting in state-of-the-art operating tables and other new associated equipment commissioned by specialists from the UK, and whose visit to the Isle of Man to carry out the work has been delayed because of the pandemic. But that's, I mean, stuff's getting delayed anyway, but that's just on top of that. Anyway, when you get there, you will be on a brand new table, which I suppose is some sort of comfort. Elective surgeries today and tomorrow at Nobles are being delayed and rescheduled, but all the essential stuff is going ahead. There may not actually be a rock big enough to hide under on the Isle of Man not to be aware of what's going on Douglas Promenade and the refurbishment scheme. Now we've been told by one business owner on the prom that the impact of the work there has been worse than COVID-19. The Department of Infrastructure has confirmed the majority of work will be completed by the 3rd of November. But not all the work will be completed by the 3rd of November. We sent Lewis Foster onto the promenade with a Manx Radio microphone.
Okay, so here I am down on Douglas Promenade now. I've just started out from the sea terminal, walking along the walkway. On my left by the Lloyds Bank building, there's still quite a lot of fencing up, some machinery about. You can tell there's still some work going on. It seems to be that way all the way up until about the Bee Gees statue. First, let's talk about that 3rd of November completion date. Now, that date was given to us, highlighted in the latest board meeting. So we put it to the DOI, is that still the case? And the DOI got back to us. It says the majority of the project will be delivered by that date, but works will continue into November, including the rectification of defects. A 70-metre section of tramway between Broadway and Esplanade Mews remains outstanding to accommodate work on the tramway points. This work will take 3 to 4 weeks and will get underway soon, they say. It will, however, be off the highway and have a minimal impact on traffic flow. Now that gives us a brief look into the future, but what about the very present? How many teams are working on Douglas Promenade? This is what we put to the DOI, broken down between infrastructure teams and Aldin Construction. 14 teams, they tell us, are currently working on the promenade. The majority of these represent the contractor and its subcontractors, alongside 3 from the Department of Infrastructure, which are supporting what they describe as the final push. And finally, we asked for an explanation of the damage caused near to the Palace Hotel on the red concrete and what work will need to be taken to rectify this. And they've just clarified the matter. They say this damage was caused when tarmacking plant was being removed from the site. The issue has been raised with the contractor, who it says is responsible for the defect. No word yet on what will be done to rectify this problem. Now, about halfway along the walkway now, and I can see myself that this part is very much untouched by the entire scheme. I look just past the sunken gardens there, and I can see that new tarmac, that red strip running along it where the horse tram is supposed to go. Keep on walking down now, and the fence is getting more prominent as we walk all the way along past Broadway. And really, actually, as I look down now all the way to the Palace Hotel, all I can see really is flashing lights along the way and orange high-vis vests, because work very much still left to do along that stretch.
Lewis Foster out and about. And have you been down the promenade lately? Well, they say the 3rd of November now. Lots of comments in as well. Regarding the prom, they should finish it properly, says Dave. Get the tram track laid the full distance, and more importantly, a proper paved finish on the walkway, not ugly black tarmac. Short term, ultimately it's more expensive thinking as well. A message in just said, so when are they planning on fixing the cracks in the red concrete? 6 months to a year's work, I reckon, for fixing that as well. And Alan said, does this mean zero disruption to motorists after the 3rd of November? A note in from Jack. And Jack says, look, the horse trams have cost the taxpayers millions. If not for those tracks, the prom would have been completed a year ago. The prom has turned into a bottleneck and destroyed. It's been destroyed to accommodate the horse trams. The area where they're double tracks is a disgrace, says Jack. No consideration at all given to motorists who are paying tax to use the road. So a slow-moving horse tram carrying no one is going to delay everything. We're back to the horse trams. They divide people, don't they? The horse trams stay or go. Who uses the horse trams? Are they worth it? They don't make any money. They cost money. But are they something essential to the tourism theatre of the Isle of Man? If the horse trams went, they'd never come back. So a decision has to be made on what's going to happen. At the moment, they're saying, and they've always said, well, they will continue on from Castle Mona, from the War Memorial, to the sea terminal. But will they? In your heart of hearts, do you think they're going to vote? Because they have to do another vote in Tynwald to get the money to put the horse trams back to the sea terminal. Now, we only look at it from an Isle of Man point of view. We look at it from the fact that we know the horse trams are there. All I'll ask you to do is try what they try in business, 180-degree thinking. Just imagine you're a visitor for the first time to the Isle of Man. Maybe you come back because of the horse trams. Just imagine what they would think if they suddenly weren't there. Howard's with us now. Hello, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just listen to what you're saying there about the horse trams. They are part and parcel, but if we go through on the previous government, and I assume that everything went down into Hansard, Tynwald voted for them to be continued along the promenade. The money was allocated, and because that money was moved to another part of it, it doesn't mean to say it was used. It was not. It was part of the original scheme and should still be there, because they just delayed for the period of 6, 8, 12 months the construction of the tramway system. Anything else that was outside of that contract, which they've had to add, I think it was £1 million, something like that. Well, that was just one of several. That should have been added to the overall contract, not take something that was in the contract to pay for something else. And it's farcical. So they have actually voted for the tramway to carry on the full length of the promenade. So why would they have to vote on it again? And this new incoming government, you should take that on board, because they are voting for something that the other party, who some are still there, some are out on their neck. But why should they have to vote on something that has already been? It goes a bit like when the European Union wanted Southern Ireland to go into the euro. They kept pushing a vote until such times the Irish government, Southern Irish this is, said, oh, I'm fed up with this, we'll just vote and get on with it and go to the euro. Is that what they were hoping for, that people would just say, oh, I'm fed up with this and we'll do away with the trams? you know, it makes you wonder just what the workings of the minds of these people that's in the DOI. It's time there was a bomb thrown amongst that lot and got them out of the place and just separated everything back into their original different boards as they were. And it's too big and it's too cumbersome.
We're all wondering who's going to be the new DOI minister. Who do you think?
Well, listen to what they're saying, and you're saying it yourself, that they're looking to break it up. Well, there could well be about three ministers then.
Oh, no, please.
Yes, exactly, yeah. And the camel is a horse designed by a committee, and that's what we've got on the promenade. And the likes of the DOI have got too big. Howard Quayle said to me a long time ago, when he took over on the health and he wanted to sort it out, he said, if you want to eat an elephant, you've got to break it into little pieces. And that's what's going to have to happen to the DOI. They've got too big, and they're uncontrollable now. They are quite literally running the island. But, as I say, the likes of that there, my commander originally for us, Tony Barry there, welcome home, Barry. When this was finally signed, the contract, what penalty clauses were written into it, and have any of those been activated? And if they haven't, why? Not an excuse. Give us a reason. We're full of excuses. We've got drawers full of them at home. And but let's give us a reason. If none of the penalty clauses have been activated, and this seems to be a farce from one end of the promenade to the other, you know, mistake upon mistake upon mistake, and that company is a huge company. I think it was at one time part of the Shell Group, and they sold to a French company, and they just keep moving the goalposts. But Alden Building is a part of it, and they seem to have got quite a good chunk of government contracts. So let's see some of these new politicians has come in, and the old ones, stand up and say, yes, we are going to enforce the penalty clauses and get some of the money back for the taxpayers of the island.
I think most people think, Howard, I'm making a sweeping generalisation, but if we knew the truth, I mean, we don't need to know the nuts and bolts, but if we knew, if they'd said at the beginning, this is going to be a nightmare, it's going to take longer than we thought, and we may have to allocate more resources... if they'd said something like that at the beginning, there'd be more buy-in to it. But this is going on like a bad, bad nightmare.
It's bad planning, it's bad management, and it's bad, in a sense, workmanship. Because I know one chap that has a business down there on the promenade, and when the early crews were working, there was a lot of Polish lads came over, and they had a different work ethic. And they were working from 7 o'clock in the morning or 7 at night, and they were told to slow down because this job has got to last us 5 years. And the Polish lads, and they were laying the curbstones, they were laying the stones, and they were told to slow down by the other crews that were working there. So, and that was from a businessman that was on the promenade and is still on the promenade.
Okay. All right, Howard, thanks for calling.
Let's just see if they got an honest answer, not an excuse, an honest reason why the penalty clause has not been activated, or if it has, what? Because you just said in your news bulletin there now, there are three groups of DOI men working there out of a group of 14. Well, that's 25% of the staff that's on the promenade working at a DOI on a private contract.
Well,
it's all wrong.
Okay then, Howard.
Take care.
Good to talk to you. It's 21 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. That's the official line. How many teams working on Douglas Prom? Infrastructure teams and Alden Constructions. There are 14 teams currently working on the promenade. The majority of those represent Alden and subcontractors. There are three from the Department of Infrastructure, which are supporting the final push towards the end. A note in from Ellie. And she said, here's an apt comparison. She said, you're talking about horse trams and what the tourists will think of it. Well, she said, let me tell you, The places, there are three places with horse trams elsewhere in the world. There are a few more, but Ellie just wants to draw your attention to this. There are horse trams at Disneyland Park in Paris, horse trams at Disneyland in Anaheim in California, and at Magic Kingdom in Florida. So it's obvious that Disney knows something about horse trams, and they know they're very attractive, and they're a bit of a look, really, for a place. So do you think that's apt for the Isle of Man? Do you think this is something we should be doing? Obviously, that much play is made, Visit Isle of Man, talk about the rail tours when railway enthusiasts come to the Isle of Man. They love the fact that on the Isle of Man, there's so much rail transport. We've got steam trains, electric railways, mountain railways, narrow gauge railways, and we've got horse trams. Now, if we take horse trams out of that mix, there's still a lot of railways, but you look in the back page of any Sunday newspaper, there are rail tours all over the world. If we take away horse trams, are we diminishing our appeal to, the railway tourists as well? Do any of your listeners know, says this correspondent on 509, is the new Paul Rose Bridge going to be one way? It looks very narrow with the new cycle lane, says that correspondent. I'm trying to think the contractor. I think it's Paul Carey, isn't it, the contractor on Paul Rose Bridge. If anybody's got a drone anywhere there, let's have a look, see what the shape of the bridge is. What's it looking like? It's due to be finished February next year. And I think for the rest of this week, pedestrians can't go along Paul Rose Bridge. There's a illuminated diversion if you're a pedestrian. Text on 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. I just wonder, says this correspondent, the news of hospital surgery stopped at such short notice is terrible. Surely this equipment didn't just drop in from the sky like a big surprise. Why weren't people made aware of this, as the hospital must have known ages ago? We can ask the question, can't we? People keep going on about the promenade, says 198. What about the roundabout at Ballasalla? It is a joke, and it's taking forever to build. Certainly, somebody's making money out of temporary traffic lights anyway. But that, if you're stuck behind that Ballasalla roundabout, well, they're having chess tournaments sometimes. Should any business that's lost out due to the promenade work be giving compensation from government, maybe in the form of perhaps a new frontage, disabled ramps? Well, some have gained, perhaps. I just wonder what's going to happen with those. Regarding Noble's Hospital as well, is it true the maternity section is okay? Is it everything fine in the maternity section? Well, that's just a... If you can tell me more about that, or you've got a bit of evidence to support that, but they're saying that maternity and obstetrics and everything is fine at Noble's. And Dave says, Andy, look, get rid of the horse trams. They're practically empty all of the time. They are a waste of money. Well, they cost money, Dave. They're not a money earner. But then there are lots of things on the Isle of Man that are paid for, or subvented, if you like. It just depends whether you think that if the horse trams go and we tarmac over the lines and the horses move off to the home of rest for old horses and the trams get sold to museums around the world, if somebody then says, oh, we shouldn't have got rid of the horse trams, it will be too late. Too late. It's a one way. It's like a heart valve. Only goes one way. The farce on the prom, who in their right mind would rip up all the surface only to do it again to link the horse trams to the sea terminal? Don't blame the horses, by the way, says Ian. It's not the horse. Nobody's blaming the horses, Ian. It's not the horses' fault. We understand that. Here's a note in, and this is regarding, everybody's asking about how many people there are on the promenade. It's 14. 14 teams, the majority of them for Aldin and subcontractors, 3 from the DOI. That's the story from the DOI. Andy Saunders is the owner of the original Quids Inn on Loch Promenade. Businesses along the prom have been dealt with, well, all levels of disruption throughout the past 3 years this has been going on. Crikey. Andy Saunders from the Quid's Inn.
Around Quid's Inn now, the actual area that they've done around Quid's Inn, I have to give them credit for. It's very nice. It's come out well. It's going to hopefully, if we get the help of Douglas Town Centre Management and so on, we're going to have a nice drinking area out there and ready for next summer, an outdoor drinking area and seating area, which should really enhance the business. So that's a positive and so on. And the Lock Promenade as a whole is looking pretty good. But if you go past Broadway, Lewis, I've lived on the prom since I was 5 years old, and if you go past Broadway, they've had more disruption than Lock Promenade. If you go back, I think they started in August of 2018, and the rest of the promenade is basically a tarmac pavement. And to have the disruption for all of those businesses, those hoteliers in particular, where their older customers had to walk 200 or 300 yards at a time to get to their doors, and for the residents down there, a lot of residents in the apartments and so on, what sort of return of that is for nearly 3 years of heartache and the hassle that they've been put through over it? I would definitely say the prom scheme has been more damaging to all the businesses on the prom than the COVID outbreak, because when we had our summer of freedom last year and everybody was on staycations and so on, no one came to the promenade. We had our normal business. We have great events in there. The live music stuff always brings big crowds. And the business will continue and crack on. But it's been hard work. And what you have is the tourism that did come, or the staycations and so on, they weren't coming to the promenade. So we missed out a little bit on that. Also, for large swathes of that summer, we were totally blocked in. You couldn't get really access from anywhere apart from walking through a building site and the little lane that goes alongside.
Andy Saunders from Quid's Inn. Did you hear what he said? The promenade has been worse than COVID for the businesses. Worse than COVID. A note in from Bill, who just said, just get the horse tram track down on Lock Prom now rather than later. I think it's the DOI cutting corners. Horse tram service pick up guests at the hotels on the Lock Prom as well, transporting them to the electric railway as well. So, and Colin said, why have they dug up the crossing outside Lloyd's for the second time? Here's a message in from Stuart, actually. Stuart's on the Fylde in Fleetwood and just said, horse trams are another tourist attraction. They are a tourist attraction being removed. So what next is it going to be? Do you think it's time to start regarding the horse trams as a tourist attraction? Here's David now. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just quickly on that, when I was in government, I remember having approving not the plan that's there now, and I don't know when it was changed. I'd love somebody to inquire into that, why the promenade scheme was changed. There are massive areas now by the Jubilee Clock for pavements, which is great, but they're about 4 metres wide, including a planting area in front of the original pavement, and I don't know what they're going to put in there. There was some harebrained scheme that somebody wanted to put some palm trees in. Maybe they think they're going to grow coconuts when it gets warmer. But I wanted to just say quickly on that, you don't go to dispute straight away. A simple question, and Manx Radio could do that, one of your budding reporters there, is asked through the government system there, how many variations to contract have there been on the promenade? And then the other question would be on that, because government's involved as well, because it has a but what we call a pecuniary interest, because the lads are working there too who are employed by government, is the same question on that. And then find out, because they have to be authorised by the client, the project manager, and all the team that's doing that.
So that's the special wording, is how many variations of contract, yeah?
Yeah, variations to the contract.
Okay.
Now, initially, I bet you'll get the cold shoulder. We'll keep pushing it, and it'll have to come out.
Well, no, we put in an FOI, a Freedom of Information request, yeah. And I have to say, obviously, they have to follow the letter of the law. They tell us.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be a great secret because, like you say, there is a contract. But I remember it a single track. I don't remember a double track coming from the Summerland end through, a single track with pass and loops. That's what we approved. And just quickly, I don't want to bore the listeners too much, but just thankfully to some of the listeners got on to me yesterday about the red diesel.
Yeah.
I am right, and I'd love to find out there why Treasury have not done anything about advertising this.
Well, we contacted Customs and Excise about that. The government's required to apply the same rates, conditions and relief as the UK for common duties. The Customs and Excise are seeking further clarification from HM Revenue and Customs regarding this, and we will know shortly. So we asked them yesterday, and we had a message back to saying basically they're finding out and they'll tell us.
Yeah, what annoys me is, because I've had loads of things now from the UK consultation, is they did a consultation. So why didn't Treasury do the same consultation in the Isle of Man? What I'm really concerned about is all these, and the Chamber of Commerce, the construction industry, and the farming side of it too. I'm sure they'll be well covered. But why hasn't something been put out there to let people know, let the people know who've got red diesel pumps and equipment, what's going to happen with it? Do you know what I mean?
Well, I have to say, I mean, bless you, Quirky, you were the first person to bring it up yesterday. We checked the whole thing, obviously found out what was happening in the UK. And that's it. Government say they're finding out and they'll tell us.
Right, we'll look for another story then. Cheers, boy.
All right, thanks for calling us. This is a story about red diesel. It's just ordinary white diesel with a dye in it. It's just got red dye in it, but it's taxed at a much lower rate than white diesel. This rebated red fuel was introduced as a concession for certain industrial users in off-highway applications because fuel duty was mainly intended to be a tax on road vehicles. So changes to the UK budget 2020... it's also part of the drive to achieve net zero carbon emissions, means they will be many sectors will lose their entitlement to use red diesel and rebated biodiesel across a variety of applications. Construction is one of the industries most affected. So we'll find out more Revenue and Customs on the Isle of Man have checked with the UK. We'll tell you, we'll find out what the story is with red diesel on the Isle of Man.
We appreciate that running a business can be a challenge and presents risks. At NFU Mutual, 100 years of insurance experience has taught us a lot. We pride ourselves on our local service and having real conversations with you to understand your unique needs and find the right cover for you. NFU Mutual work hard to ensure that claims are handled efficiently with minimum hassle to get you back to normal as soon as possible. For business insurance, call NFU Mutual on 674 191.
You're sure to find something fabulous at Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers.
From stunning gold and silver jewellery that you can make extra special with an engraved message, to local prints and gifts for every occasion, Ramsey Art Gallery also stock a fantastic range of watches, including Ted Baker, Citizen, Storm and Accurist.
Plus Seconda, Timex, Sexy and Bulova.
All with lifelong free strap adjustment. You'll love what you find in store when you visit Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop in Ramsey.
Steam into Christmas with family and friends on the unique Isle of Man Railways dining car. Our winter events programme has something for everyone. Journey through the Manx countryside enjoying sparkling festive fun. To get into the Christmas spirit, book now by calling our Yuletide team on 697457 or visit rail.in and experience one of our festive train adventures.
Calling all grown-ups. We need you to be a foster carer. Right now, there are young superheroes like me across the island who are looking for super carers. Anyone can wear a cape and run around stopping bad guys, but being someone who helps a young person grow, being someone who inspires, that's a real superhero. To find out more about the Mockingbird Family Model Pilot and the Family Placement Service, call 61000.
It's another Caroline North weekend with some great music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. We have a special guest DJ in Grant Benson revisiting the Ross Revenge, and this weekend is sponsored by Marsh Industries. Join us on Caroline North
on 1368 and 648 AM, Radio Caroline North.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good to have you along, and thanks for being with us. It's 24 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Lots of commented on also it being a Thursday, by the way. I have to tell you that the Isle of Man Farmers Market is on today. at St John's Church Hall. It's on till 3 this afternoon. Busy week for the Isle of Man's Farmers Market. On today at Church Hall in St John's, also tomorrow, Village Walk in Oncombe from 11 till 4. Saturday, every Saturday at the Courthouse in Ramsey from 10 till 4. And as the third Sunday of the month, there'll be at Colby Football Club on Sunday. So today, St John's, tomorrow, Oncombe, Saturday, Ramsey, and Sunday, Colby Football Club. Loads of messages in. We should have got rid of the horse trams when we had the chance. They don't make any money, and they need to be subsidised. Well, there are lots of things on the Isle of Man that need to be subsidised, Mark. Who's going to decide what's worth keeping, or is everything got to be done on a purely for-profit basis? I mean, the NSC doesn't make money. Lots of cultural places don't make money. Lots of the meat plant needs a subvention. The Villa Gaiety, does that make money? So what do we do? Do you think we should turn everything over just for to make a profit? Who's going to be the next DOI minister? Well, we'll see. Who do you think it should be? Who could it be? Have you had a sweepstake at the office yet? Who's going to be in the ministers? It's a way of, you know, having some more fun. And a note in from teams from the DOI, says Margaret, have been working with Alden Construction for months now. Is Alden's bill going to be considerably cheaper to the government because of that? If not, why not? Margaret, I smell a report coming. There's bound to be a report on the promenade. And probably the report will take as long as the promenade did as well. We need to keep things like the horse trams. We need the steam trains. We need the electric railway. The Isle of Man has little to come here to see already. When we moved here 25 years ago, there were loads more events going on which have now gone by the way. If you lose your heritage, you have nothing. So why didn't they put this, make sure that, just put the horse tram tracks back straight away? The diesel-powered station, the power station at Paul Rose, was 3 months late in being delivered in the early 90s. I think the MEA got back, £500,000 back in penalty clauses, says Rich. Remember that? Here's a message in that just said, how many persons are in a team? Is it just one? You keep talking about teams. How many are in a team? They might have horse trams, where the lady said, but we've got Mickey Mouse in charge of ours. I get what you're doing as well. Well, yeah, but Disney's horse trams aren't stuck in the middle of a very busy road, so it doesn't have any bearing on the promenade, says Dave. Why don't other callers on the show offer to help with the promenade? If they're all experts, maybe they should take the shirts off and pick up a shovel, says Elmer. Do you think so? Paul Rose Bridge is only half built so far, says Gary. That's why it looks small. See, that's the way of looking at it. Seems to me the government's determined to diminish our appeal to visitors, says G, altogether. The Laxey wheel. Not working. Horse trams. Halfway down the promenade. Glens? What's going to happen to the Glens? They don't make a profit. Perhaps no Glens on the way. So we need to watch out. It's a very slippery slope. It's the thin end of the wedge. If you're talking about heritage, obviously Manx National Heritage gets lots and lots of public money. Their biggest cost, they'll tell you, is always wages in Manx National Heritage. It's their people that cost the money. But upkeeping, you know, things like the Laxey Wheel, that costs an awful lot of money. The Grove in Ramsey, that took some money to put right, their repair plan they have at the Grove. Remember Castle Russian? So do you always think about this in terms of just money? And we talked also a message in from Dennis about Glen May, and he said, look, Glen May used to have things worth going for as well. Now, anybody who doesn't live there will just drive straight through. Well, unless you're seeing somebody, of course, but you'll just drive straight through. People used to stop in Glen May for the post office and the shop, perhaps the cafe and the pub. Maybe that's the nub of it. When the drink driving came in, it wasn't worth driving to Glen May to go to the pub, because obviously you had to watch out what you were drinking. The horse trams aren't out of place then, designed Built by a Mickey Mouse department as well. At least Disney's reasonably entertaining, says John. I understand that a building company on the Isle of Man were recently given planning permission to build on green fields. Are they selling the new houses off to overseas billionaire investors? Do you think, listeners, we should provide green fields for this reason, for the benefit of local owner-occupiers? That's John on 404. Well, two things there. Green fields are in the plans. There are plans for, you know, there is an eastern plan as to what should happen. You may be referring to this new 350-dwelling development at Braddon. That's part of a plan. It's not just been dreamed up by somebody. And somebody can apply for planning permission on land zoned in the plan. Perfectly acceptable. That's what it's there. As to whether or not the houses should be sold off to investors as rent to buy, that's another matter. At the moment, perfectly legal. Nothing anybody can do about it. It's a very legitimate way of people earning income by buying properties to rent out. It's not against the law. Whether or not you agree with it, well, that's another matter.
I didn't know where to turn to protect me and my children from my violent husband.
My partner verbally abused me, controlled how much money I could spend and who I could talk to.
But my advocate was compassionate and helped me with the police to stop the abuse.
My advocate helped me to get a court order to protect me and stay in my home.
If you need assistance, call Advocate Smith Torbitts Unsworth Limited on 677-888 or email reception at advocates.co.im.
As the nights draw in, tis the season of warm and cozy. Miller Chaps of Ramsey have plump pillows, cushions and throws to bring new textures to your home. Sink into a beautiful new sofa and read in the warm glow of a new lamp or curl up on a deep, pure wool rug as you drink hot chocolate and watch your favourite film. At Miller Chaps, you always find superb quality. So love your home this autumn with treats for you. A host of special offers from Miller Chaps.
Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
Ethel Garage in Ballasalla is more than a Nissan authorised repair centre. Their team of highly factory-trained and experienced technicians will service and repair any make and model, with dedicated aftercare too. With Ethel, you get a competitive fixed-price menu and a courtesy car if needed. Pity this driver didn't know that.
Oh, great! I told you to go to Ethel!
Ethel, a garage to swear by, not swear at. Book now at ethel.im or call the A-team, 820082.
Can-do is more than just an attitude. Can-do is extraordinary support in extraordinary times. It's the knowledge and expertise to harness opportunities. Can-do is empowering you to get your plans back on track. Can-do is Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. Visit candowealth.com to see how we can help you build your wealth with confidence. Canaccord Genuity Wealth International Limited is licensed for investment business by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
This weekend on Manx Radio, our winning weekend wordplay continues with your chance to win £200 to spend at Haldane Fisher's Douglas store. To win, all you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay all day Saturday and Sunday. Then join us on Monday morning at 10 to 9 when we'll announce who the lucky winner is. So join us this weekend to be a winner with Haldane Fisher in Douglas and Ramsey and your nation's station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining this lunchtime. I spoke to Darren, said Bill. Darren had the Taj Mahal off the promenade 30 years. Devastated by the prom works. No TT, no Grand Prix for 2 years. They just couldn't keep going. Perhaps the government should have helped. They had to close down. This is the situation for some businesses. They've gone out of business. Unacceptable, says Bill as well. There are a handful of businesses reaping big money, says Marie, from taxpayer. Marie's on 785. I think we should bring back the proper DOI area gangs where more locals get work and we get a better service. One example is the company getting paid a fortune for street signs. That's understood. Marie, but of course these are the decisions that have been taken ages ago. The decision regarding DOI gangs was taken a long time ago. Whether or not that can be brought back or whether you think it should be brought back is another thing. And also, again, we come back to cost. If it's cheaper, what would people say? Should you do it the cheapest way or should you keep the jobs on the Isle of Man purely for Manx people? When the prom's up and running, said Tony, I can't see buses or coaches being able to pass the tram. The roadway is too narrow. It's poor planning. I've noticed that, and I don't know whether you have. If you've wandered down Lock Promenade, just look where they've extended some of the pavements. And whereas before, if a tram was along, vehicles could get by the tram, often on the inside. I can't see that happening. And considering also during TT, the number of bikes that are parked on the prom, I don't quite know how that's going to work. And if I'm just hoping somebody's planned or got some sort of plan for it in the future, because if thousands and thousands of bikers are parking their bikes on the prom, and then you have lots of traffic on the promenade, heaven knows what's going to happen. Here's a message in that just says, regarding the horse tram tracks funding, I emailed my MHK, this is Carol, and I've been advised by him there was a separate funding line for the second half of the track through to the sea terminal. The funding is still contained within the Capital Reserve Fund, which I'm delighted to hear, says Carol. I agree with your earlier correspondent. The new bypass at Ballasalla is a joke. At least the promenade has to contend with all the services underneath. The roundabout, they're digging up virgin ground there, says Josh, and it's a mess. Why don't they use the little chuckle bus with a tractor like they do in Spain for summertime? All the kids would love it. It could make money all the way to go to Oncombe Park, perhaps, as well. And Ben said, Andy, look, as a resident I'm not very happy with living on a building site for nearly 3 years, and I think it's a joke. Also, we're treated like a nuisance. Whenever you raise a query with the MyProm team, we're treated as a nuisance. I'm curious also as to why homeowners can get a reduction on rates around building sites, but private renters get tied in and locked into fixed-term contracts and zero financial relief. Well, it sounds to me like that there will be a report on the promenade when the promenade is eventually finished. Tommy, hi, Tommy.
Oh, hi, Andy. Promenade again, Andy. The walkway on the seaward side, Andy, from the War Memorial to the sea terminal. It's all cracked, Andy, the whole way along. Have you been on it?
I have, and I've seen that as well. Let's just hope they sort that out.
Well, yes, and we had a member of the small party went down there. He was in a wheelchair, and that was smashing because we saw a little ramp that went into the gardens. Well, that was all very well. He went down to another. He got to a brick wall in the end, and he couldn't exit that way if he wanted to. He had to turn around and go all the way back again. I mean, the whole thing is chaotic and just a mess, Andy.
Would you feel better if there was more information about it, Tommy?
Well, this has been going on, and they say it's going to cost so much extra. And I was waiting for a cab by the Lock Hotel, Andy, and what are those strange humps in the middle of the road that the traffic have to ride over?
Well, I just wonder, Tommy.
Well, I'm just wondering if the bikes, when they go over it, and they might be coming off there, thrown off.
And also, walking down Lock Promenade, Tommy, I just wonder, when there's 300 or 400 bikes parked along there, what state it's going to be in?
Well, exactly, Andy. I mean, there should be some thought gone into this. Hey, Andy, remember when Japan had that earthquake? And that whole big section of motorway was brought down by the earthquake. We had that fixed in a couple of weeks, Andy, didn't we?
There we go.
And the whole motorway up and running again, Andy. Maybe we should have brought the Japanese over, Andy, to do it.
Right. Thanks for calling, Tommy.
Cheers, Andy. Thanks, bud.
Look at that time. It's 9 minutes. Before one on Man in Line today. Lots of messages in. Also, there are horse trams at Victoria Harbour in Australia. So it's that there are trams at the Victoria Harbour in Australia, 3.1 kilometres along the shoreline. Part is over a 630-metre causeway. Ah, says that correspondent as well. Well, there are trams, horse trams. I mean, there aren't many, but there are horse trams around the world. Ours, of course, have lots and lots of heritage. Michael's with us now. Hi, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, what's on your mind, Michael?
I'd like to counteract the massive doom and gloom you've been having all today. And I would like to thank the management and marketing team at the abattoir, because they have managed to get a lot more Manx meat into Tesco, and it has been very well received. Many thanks to the public for buying it. And the more that they buy locally, we won't have to spend a lot of money hauling it away and shipping it away. And then hopefully the abattoir will eat less than
that. Well, getting anything into Tesco can be long and tortuous. How did they manage that?
By going through a long and tortuous saga of jumping through hoops and stuff, which is their policy, and we and they've done a good job of it. And also, you know, it is important that the farmers do appreciate what they do, and we appreciate that the Manx public do buy a good quality product.
Okay.
And hopefully that will get more and more.
Okay, and what's your part in this, Michael?
I'm the chairman of the northern branch of the NFU.
Okay, all right. Well, we wish you well, and thanks for bringing us the good news today.
Yes, not a problem.
All right, thank you, Michael. Good to hear from you. Howard's with us. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just a quick one. In the early 1970s, I used to drive coaches in Douglas, well, all over the island. And going on the promenade now, basically there was only one place that was difficult to overtake a horse tram, and that was from the Crescent Cinema, as it was then, to Broadway. Everywhere else you could pass it fairly safely. You respected the wishes of the people getting on and off, but as regards getting a vehicle of that size through between the parked cars and the horse trams, that was the only place that was anywhere near tight. So now you go along the promenade, and they've narrowed the actual carriageway down. It's going to be difficult now with the wider, slightly wider buses and the larger cars that are being manufactured.
I do hope they've had their computer-aided design things out. I do hope this can happen.
I hope they've thrown them out in the bin, because I've seen some of the work these CAD machines have been doing on our roads, etc., and it's been farcical. But also the horse trams, what I was told by an ex-councillor, that they are going to go from the Broadway end along the path in front of the War Memorial, and where it's been left with soil all the way along the garden walls right through to the Villiers end, that is where they're going to be. So that has been left in abeyance at the moment with just soil. How true it is, I don't know, but that is what is supposed to be happening to a single track of the tramway going in front of the War Memorial on the road, right the way along, in front of all the gardens on the promenade side, right through to the sea terminal. And I wonder whether that soil area is going to be an area for a tram stop for people to wait and get on and off the trams.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Howard.
Take care.
Good to hear from you. By the way, I want to just bring the power of Man in Line to a bit of research. If you can help us, then that will be fantastic. Tony Rutter was one of the most successful competitors in the Isle of Man TT in the 70s and 80s. Everybody remembers Tony Rutter. Well, son Michael carries that tradition on into the 21st century. And between them, they've racked up 14 victories, 7 each to be precise. But sadly, Tony passed away earlier last year. And now a book about Tony Rutter and his career has been written by the journalist John McAvoy. He was responsible for Michael's autobiography, and he's hoping people in the Isle of Man can give some material about Tony Rutter.
It was in the sort of immediate aftermath of that Michael came into contact with a lot of Tony's old friends from the area where he grew up, and obviously competitors who he used to race against, who in the, I suppose, the process of giving their condolences to Michael, would, you know, share a story or two with him about his dad. But there must be more people out there who have this kind of, these memories that I just don't have, you know. We've got some good stuff already, but there's always gaps that, you know, can be filled in. So I'm really hoping, and pictures as well. If people's got, you know, pictures kicking around that they might have taken, or Tony, either on track or away from the track, you know. So let's see them and let's have them, because every picture's got a story as well, you know.
If you have any information or any memories about Tony Rutter, then Michael Rutter's got a website. It's michaelrutter200.com. michaelrutter200.com. You can email via that website and get some memories from the Isle of Man about Tony Rutter. Sorry to change the subject, says Steve, but who's responsible for the state of the pavements from Peel to St John's, Portown Road, Patrick Road? Absolutely disgraceful. The ones that are overgrown, you can't walk on any of them in safety, says Steve. Don't get me on pavements. Look on the other side of Fortan Road, Douglas Head Road. Have a look at those pavements. Like the jungle there. That's it. Welcome back and thank you, Barry Redfern. I'm Andy Wint. Back tomorrow at high noon for another Man in Line.